is quite fierce.
Holy and righteous Father, we come before you, realizing that your faithfulness is not even close to being matched in reciprocation for what you've done for us. You've been merciful. You've been gracious. You've built us up where we are torn down. You've been exceedingly good to us. I thank you for your love, your chastisement, and the ability to come together and study your word and really grow from it as opposed to just coming and going through motions. Help us, I pray, to exemplify your glory in the land, that we will be able to enjoy your presence, that we will love one another, that we will be able to do kingdom rule in this earth because we are listening to you as a righteous vassal for your kingdom. I ask you to look upon Rich in the situation that he has. And Lord, if it's your will, I'd ask you to remove it. But if you see fit for him to go under the knife, I ask you to bring him up. You know his concerns, what they will be. I ask you to bring him up and let those things not even bother him. I ask you to strengthen his family that at this time that they will become closer together. I ask you to look upon my mom and all of the situations that she's had inflicted upon her, and I ask you to bring her to your glory. I ask you to look upon Aunt Ruby. I ask you to look upon Gary. I ask you to look upon my wife that often has problems because of asthma. You've healed much worse than that. The day that you pulled Lazarus out of the grave, when the little boy died and Elijah lied on top and caused him to come back, we know you have the power. Skin disease, lack of breath, deformity, demon possession, you all in all. We want to bring glory to your name and look forward to the glory that will be revealed in us. I ask these things in the blessed name of your righteous child, Jesus Christ, the Holy One. Amen, amen, and even so, amen.
I have come to glorify his name.
Glorify his name, glorify his name. I come to glorify the name of the Lord. I come to glorify.
Well, let's lift the glory.
Is not able, we don't want you to cough through a song, because then it might sound like Yes, I am talking about you a lot,
James
Mama.
James wants to sing nothing but the blood of Jesus.
That's a good song.
Blood
let's do
can wash away my sins.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make me
whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that blood that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Away my sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make me
hold again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, the time will come, I believe, that we'll be able to not only have more songs, we'll be coming to his presence with singing and thanksgiving, and I believe we already come with thanksgiving. If not, why would you be here? To hear Tim Merritt, please. I mean, seriously. If what I was saying was deeply rooted and ingrained in the Word of God, I don't think you'd be here. I would hope that you wouldn't just come to hear me pontificate and disseminate information that comes from my head about my thoughts, about what I care for, and is totally against the will of God. I would hate to be one of those kind of teachers that would have to go before the God of heaven, and I took time to teach what I think and what I believe, and it was outside of his will. And don't think that people don't do that. It's done all of the time. When you get that script that they call the news, and when it's commentary, and it tell you what we should do, and when you get these pontificators and disseminators of folly that many times call themselves politicians, lead nothing to progressivism, or conservatism, and they exclude God, they're preaching. That's not what the message is about. But it's always there. It's always there. And you're going to watch it be able to slide into my message. Now, if the Lord's will, next week, we'll probably start streaming our messages so that people can watch what we teach on the internet. But today, we're going to talk about a grave message. You all were probably expecting me to go to Psalm 89, and I was expecting to go to Psalm 89, but something bothered me. Today I want to talk about what is it that causes believers to turn their back on God and walk away from him. What is it? The Bible talks about it in many ways. Luke chapter 8 talks about it explicitly. But there are other places throughout the scripture. Actually, if you were familiar with the Bible, with the whole of the Bible, you will see people that turn and walk away from God, a thing that many of what we call Christianity, what you call biblical people, what you even call Hebrews, do often and say that it can't be done. Well, I'm here to tell you that the Word of God not only say that it can be done, but it warns against it. One of the funny things, and I don't mean funny like ha ha, he he, ho ho, grab your side, tickle your ribs. I'm talking about funny and strange, like a paradox. As many of the people that tell you you can't turn away from God are the ones that actually turn people away from God. When we start looking into the Word of God and we start to extract what God's word have to say from it, we find out something that's very sad. Is that the God of all the earth and heaven had planned things for mankind, and mankind forfeited it. Listen to what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about why people turn away from God and walk away from him forever. And I will say it as if that very thing that Ann told me that day came straight from the mouth of God, not because he's my wife, but because it's true. She had heard an old man preach. And an old man preached, the reason that Joseph did not turn away from God is because he got a glimpse of the glory which God had promised him. Now, I don't know all his message. I got a Bible. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a glimpse of what happened. I'm going to give you a glimpse of the pattern in the Bible. And I'm going to show you this is what we need to fear. I'm going to show you that this is why people turn away from God. Now, in Genesis chapter 37, you can read about the life of Joseph or Yusuf. He was at one time the baby that Israel had. You all remember Israel. His name was Jacob, and he wrestled with the angel. And the angel was God that was sent. He was sent, God the Son, before he was ever made or never ever took on humanity. He wrestled with it, but you can find that out there. You find it in the 49th chapter of Genesis, as well in the book of Hosea. He wrestled and his name was changed. His youngest child, Joseph, dreamed a dream. Joseph dreamed that he saw the sun, the moon, and the stars bow down and worship him. He dreamed that, another dream that they were gathering sheaves, and they all had bundles, and their sheaves bowed down to his sheaves. And because of that dream that God gave him, he believed, and his father made it known that one day your mother and I and your brethren are going to have to bow down to you. He held it in his heart, but his brothers hated him for that. Number one, one of the reasons that people turn away from God is they fail to see the glory. And often when they see the glory, they let somebody's opinion, somebody's hatred, somebody's mistreatment turn them away from the glory. Throughout the life of Joseph, you find that they hated him and they tried to kill him. Somebody say, Tim, you're giving me the short version. That's all you need right now if you're familiar with the scriptures. They tried to kill him. They buried him in a pit. They didn't cover him up, but you talking about a pit, that's just like your grave. They put him in there, and then they were going to kill him and leave him. And instead of killing him and leaving him, God spared him in the pit, and they sold him. Sold their brother to be a slave to the Ishmaelites. And then the Ishmaelites sold him. He was sold again, sold twice. Sold him to Egypt, and God was with him. That's what the Bible says. When you see that God was with him, that means Joseph still looked toward the glory that God had given. But it looked like there was no way it was going to ever happen. It looked like it couldn't come to pass. Then one day, he had been raised up so high that the person that he was sold to didn't have to look at what he had anymore. Everything is taken care of so well that the man didn't even keep accounting. But one day, this good-looking man, his mother was a fine-looking woman. The way the Bible taught, Jacob saw she was good-looking. First thing he did, he kissed her. I mean, I guess they didn't have the Me Too movement back then. But he kissed her, and he wept, and he said, I want that. I want her. I need her in my life. Her daddy, being the kind of man that want money, said, well, you got to work 7 years to have this one. He didn't want to just go, as they call it, as Paula Abdul sung in her song. He didn't want her caught up in the hit and run, okay? For those that don't know what that means, he didn't want to treat her like a whore. He wanted to marry her. I hope that helped you out, okay? In the black community, they call that hit that when you go and fornicate with somebody you're not married to or obligated to, and you just use it for your pleasure, whether they like it or not. It's outside of the will of God. Joseph decided to marry her. Well, those of you that know the trick that his daddy played, he ended up getting another woman to be his wife, which was the sister. And then 7 years later, he got the wife that he wanted. So now we see the Bible said that she was good to look at, where her son Joseph was good looking. And this Egyptian woman, this woman that was of what we would call African or Hamitic descent, not like Elizabeth Taylor. She was not Caucasian. She was not white. She looked at Joseph and he was pretty. The Bible said what girls would call today, he was fine. There used to be a thing in the 80s, in the 90s, what is it? He built. And she looked at him and she lusted. Rich, she lusted. I don't know if anybody, you know, in particular, I don't know any names, just lusted for you, but that she lusted for him. And she said, dear, lie with me. Lie with me. Come home with me for a nightcap. That's how they might say it. Now, come home with me for a nightcap. Can we go hook up somewhere? And Joseph said, no, we can't do this. How? Your husband has trusted everything that you that he has to me except you. How can I do this great sin against God? Number one, we turn away from God because of oppression or persecution. Then we turn away from God and apostatize because of our lust. Joseph still saw the glory. One day, my family, I'm going to be in charge of my family. My eyes are still on the vision. How can I do this great sin against God and what he has promised me? So she lied and said this Hebrew. When you read that in your Bible, that means somebody of a different ethnicity. This Hebrew slave, somewhat like, and I want you to understand when I say this, I'm not twisting the scripture. But there was a time when there was a young man named Emmett Till. He was of a different ethnic group. And this woman lied on him. It's already on the web now that this old woman now said, I lied on this boy that was killed. This Negro, this nigger, this black boy looked at me and he whistled. She lied, but the point was not that it was just a boy. Color, flavor is, he's not as good as us. He's beneath us. He's of a different ethnic group. If you don't see that when she said, you brought this Hebrew into Marcus, you're missing something. He didn't do it. He went to prison. The odds are the reason he went to prison instead of was put to death is that the master knew what kind of man he had working for him, and he knew what kind of woman he had. In prison, God elevated him again, Rich. And he was in charge of the prison. And two men had dreams. And God allowed Joseph to answer what the dream meant. When we move further along, what happens is Pharaoh. Yeah, I jumped way ahead, didn't I? It's real good. Pharaoh had a dream and it bothered him. It was one of those kind of dreams that in the ancient world was like an omen. What is it saying? I saw seven fat cows, King James would call it kine, rise up. They were big and fat, might be like the cows of Bashan. They were so big and fat and juicy. Then he saw seven ill, skinny looking ones, and they ate up the fat ones, and you don't even remember what the fat ones were. Then he had another type of dream that said the same thing. Joseph said, the dreams are double and they are one. God is getting ready to send famine, and he allows you to know what they are. Now, hear this. If you got a trigger, if I say Donald Trump, get rid of your trigger and listen to the truth. Pharaoh was king. He was not Joseph's friend. He did not know Joseph. He wasn't friends to the Hebrews. He wasn't friends to the Israelites. He wasn't friend to those other nations. He was about self and his people. But because God had somebody there that he had promised a blessing to, he had somebody there that knew his will, he had somebody there that was interested in pleasing him and that kept seeing the glory, And he didn't know how it was going to be manifest, but he never gave up. He never turned back, never turned his back on God, although he had been in prison. They had wanted to kill him. He had been in prison unjustly. He had been mocked because of his ethnicity. When it was told that this boy, this prisoner that told me my dream, I did him wrong, he went to go see Pharaoh, the king. In this day, we have people that say they love God, but I would not go talk to this president. We have people when Obama was president, probably when they went to go speak to him. And probably ever since we've had presidents in the United States, there have been people that wouldn't go see him. But Joseph was with God. When you learn the word of God, you're not beneath a person that has political power. You are part of the head and not the tail. You represent Yeshua HaMashiach, which is Jesus the Christ. And I want to get like the Baptist preacher. I see why they do that now. You start feeling good. You know, they start. You know, and. But what I want to say is this. With the Pharaoh, told him the dream comes from God. And what did he do? He got dressed up, and they dressed him up, as far as I can tell, like an Egyptian, but he still knew who he was. And he went there with dignity and respect, told him what it was. And Pharaoh, the king, said, wait a minute. You say that what I need to do is put somebody in charge to do this. If Pharaoh does this, let me show you in action what I believe happened in his mind. Been around, up, down. Go mind to mind. Hey, there's nobody. Listen to this, Rich. Nobody in my kingdom. Even when I look in the mirror, there's nobody in this kingdom wiser than Joseph. I'm going to put him in charge. Not only am I going to put him in charge, but I don't want nothing done without his permission. And when he walks by, you bow the knee. Do you hear my words? You bow the knee. The only person that's not over him, under him, is me. Everybody that had him locked up, everybody, the woman that lied on him, the ones that had forgot about it because one of them got killed. When Joseph come by, they changed his name to Zaphnath-Paneah. And when they walked by, they had to bow the knee. I want you to understand something. He saw the glory, but that wasn't the glory that God had revealed. This is what I would call serendipitous. This is what I would call a side benefit. Well, the famine came in the land like God said, and eventually his brothers had to come there from where they were. They didn't recognize him. He's not dressed like them anymore. His clothes are different. He is, in the words of a man that I don't like to quote, Jesse Jackson, he is somebody. Somebody big. I guess the rappers used to use words years ago. He's a major player now. And, you know, my dad used to like to watch a picture called Dukes of Hazzard. And Joseph, I guess, is the equivalent of Boss Hogg. And so they come in and they want to buy grain. And when they see him, they had to bow the knee. Joseph recognized them. You know, they would still have the same clothes on. And, you know, your eyes make adjustments for people you hadn't seen in a long time, say maybe 20 years. He remembered the dream. He remembered the vision. Eventually, his dad comes. And unlike many of us today that would have nothing to do with a president or a person that's in charge, his daddy came in and he blessed the king. He blessed Pharaoh. Not only did Joseph go see him and give him the word of God and uphold and bless the kingdom, his daddy came in that had the blessing and he blessed Pharaoh. And the Bible teaches that the lesser is blessed by the greater. That's what it says. When it talks about in Hebrews, I believe this chapter 5, it's not 5, it's 7. Read all of it if you think I'm wrong. Then tell me I'm wrong. When Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Actually, we're still called Abram then. The Bible says he blessed Abram, which showed that by him blessing Abram, he was greater than Abram. And the principle that was set is the lesser is blessed by the greater. Don't we need to be with God? Joseph's father bowed. Everybody, about 70 of them came. I believe in the book of Acts it says 75. So you got a difference in the counting, and that could be explained, but that's not the point of the message. Joseph held on because he saw the glory. Why did Adam and Eve turn away from God? Why did they give up the glory of having all the dominion of the fish of the sea and the fowls of the air and being able to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and represent God in the earth? Why? Not because they were killed, not because they were disliked by people, but they were disliked by the wicked one. They were disliked by the Nakash, or what we call the serpent. Jesus said in John chapter 8, he was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth because he's a liar. He's the father of liars. I will submit to you that people turn away from God and don't turn back because they listen to lies. They allow something to discredit what God says, and they lose the vision of the glory. Then, as the Baptist preachers will say, they saw something else that became glorious. In the eyes of Eve, she saw that tree that was forbidden. It was beautiful, beautiful to the eyes. Good-looking fruit. It don't look deformed. Why do you think men lay up with whores? Why do you think men lay up with men and women with women? They find something attractive in there. They don't see nothing that is going to bother them. Why do you think people go out and murder when somebody makes them angry? They see a pleasure in it. They see a relief in it. They see nothing. You don't see the invisible boundary that God has set up that you'll be destroyed. What do you mean by invisible boundary? You go to the top of this building. You don't see a boundary that if you step off the edge, you're going to get hurt, do you? You can step, and there's nothing to stop, but there's an invisible boundary that you know that your weight, the height of this building, and force is coming down. Even if you don't have enough physics in yourself to know that, you know there's a boundary. Why do you not jump off in the ocean like so many do and end up drowning? The boundary, your body is not designed to live with water in the lungs like that. Why do you not touch something that's too hot? You look at it and you see the eye is red. You've touched something hot before. You don't even see you can actually put your hand over something that's so hot and you can say, okay, this is far as I can go. Boundaries. Joseph saw the boundaries. Adam and Eve went past the boundaries. Noah, being warned of God, heard what God had to say, saw the glory. What glory? That God is going to make me the one that's going to repopulate the earth. That God is going to save me. That God is going to save me out of all of these people, get rid of these giants, get rid of the wickedness that's in the earth, and start over with me. He saw it. He saw it, you all. And he built an ark. They mocked him. They criticized him. They made fun of him. No doubt if it had been in the black community when I moved to Atlanta back in 1984, people used to like to drink 40s. Now, if you don't know what a 40 is, that's a big old beer, okay? Big old beer, smoke some weed. When they make fun of somebody, where they look, where their car look, anything, you just want to make fun and mock somebody, you turn up the 40, get a little bit, they start what you call joning them, mocking them. No doubt there were people back then mocking Noah. The Bible said it was. If you go to 2 Peter chapter 3, I don't have to explain all this. You all know scriptures. The point is, he saw the glory. Abraham, living in Mesopotamia, great wealth of the air, had service. How do you think people would look at you if you had 318 mercenaries, trained fighting men that were just yours? And you could feed them all, let alone your family. Then when you go places, people call you a king or a great man. And God said, get up and go. He went, not knowing where he was going. just that God has said it. But if you look in the book of Hebrews, I believe the Bible tells us, and I think it's the 10th verse, if somebody want to check me out, the Bible tells us that he saw the glory. He saw a city that had foundations whose builder and maker was God. But the point being made is this. He saw it. And he never turned away. Let me give you one little extra tip on Joseph that I thought was quite amazing. Joseph saw the glory of them bowing, but he saw more than just that. Joseph saw that God was going to deliver his people. And if you look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22, he told them, when God takes you up out of Egypt and he brings you back to the land that he promised our grandfather, our ancestor Abram, take my bones. I see it. Well, that's enough when you talk about the people of old, what they saw, why they didn't turn back. But you said, why do we do it today? We fail to see the glory. We fail to see what God has promised. Often we don't even know what God has promised. We don't read the word. We listen to people tell us what God has said, and we don't go back and check. And so it's easy when somebody threatens to kill us, when somebody wants to kill our influence with slander, to go and turn against God and give up the picture of the glory, to give up that which God has promised us. And we want to be accepted by men. We want to be accepted by our family that don't like us. We might want to be accepted by our father. We want to be accepted by people of political esteem. And we don't look at the glory. Had Noah had that problem, he'd have drowned. Had Moses had that problem, he'd have died. God said, you go to the king. Oh, another man of God going to a king this week? Yes. God said, you go to Pharaoh and you tell him, I said, let my people go. Yes, I'll kill you and I'll kill your firstborn. Moses said, I became but talk, but mammy. Who made your mouth? Don't make me angry. Can you see me? Can you see God in your mind? I mean, in your sanctified mind, getting ready to give him a backhand. Who made your mouth? No, don't you talk to me like that. But the Bible says in the Hebrews chapter 11, Moses saw him. Moses saw Christ, and he did not esteem the riches of Egypt. He did not let the riches of this world, he did not let the esteem of this world, he did not allow the ability of him being able to be the prince and being in charge of evil take his mind off of the vision that God had given him. And even if it came down to Pharaoh killing him, I'm going to be faithful to God. I'm going to hold on to what God say, and there's nothing that you're going to do to turn me away. But what about us? We turn away because we see something on TV. We turn away because some kind of activist group, and we turn away because of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Turn away and walk away from God. We turn away because we went to somebody's school that's got an accreditation that says there is no God, that God does not rule the world, that God did not create the world, and that we're supposed to be able to practice all kind of immoral acts of sodomy, lesbianism, homosexuality, fornication, adultery, and it's okay. And that we can hate this group and hate that group because we told you so, and we give you the signed piece of paper that say you have accomplished the knowledge of this world and you can go get a job. In other words, we can control you because we're going to control whether you can make money or not on a job. And you turn away from God for that. Yet Joseph was a slave. So we exchange the glory and the word of God to be accepted by school system that our priority, little Latin there, that before it's even talked about, excluded God. Is that what Jesus did? Is that what Jesus did? In 1 Peter chapter 1 and 11, it talks about the sufferings of Christ and the glory which should follow. He knew. They talked about what Christ went through, that he kept the vision in his mind. He didn't turn away from God. He stayed steadfast. And therefore, when you read Hebrews chapter 12 and 1, the Bible tells you, we also are compassed with so great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the glory that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. And he is set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Somebody turn to that for me. I want you to see that. Tell the glory. So whenever they mocked him, when they determined to kill him, he despised it. There's nothing that's going to move me. There used to be a song we used to sing when I was a boy. I loved that song. It went, I'll let nothing separate me from his love. He let nothing. Somebody say, you can't. Well, you hadn't read John chapter 10. You know what I mean? 15 and 10. Where he says, as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love, you keep my commandment, you'll abide in his love. He said, I'll let nothing cause me to move away from my Father's commandment. What does it say there in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3? Somebody read, please.
For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind.
The contradiction comes from your TV. It comes from your friends. It comes from your school. It comes from your own flesh. Consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners. What? Why? It'll tell you.
You have not yet resisted unto blood.
Go back and read it again, please.
For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind.
That's what I wanted. Contradiction, cares, pains of sinners cause people to become weary and faint in their mind, and they lose the picture of the glory. Will you turn the air up in here? I see people getting hot. You can take it up to, you take it down where you want it to be. Notice this. That's what Jesus did. But what did he teach his disciples? Well, in Luke chapter 8, he gives a parable of a sower. Said the sower went forth, he sowed seed. Some fell by the wayside, some fell among the thorns, some fell on the rock, etc. But the picture was, when the word of God comes, who will be faithful? Who will bear fruit? Who will see the glory? Well, when he explained the parable to them, one of the things that he said, those that fell by the wayside are the ones that hear the word of God. And here comes Satan to pluck that word out of them. Isn't that what happened with Adam? Isn't that what happened with Adam and Eve? The word was plucked by lies. It was plucked by deception. It was plucked by rebellion. Eve was seduced and Adam was in the transgression. Irrespective of how you want to look at it, the word was plucked away and they did not bear the fruit. He said, some fell on the stone. It bore a little bit of fruit. But then, just like the heat will make a plant on a stone die, he says, the persecution of this world, the trials of this world, maybe you're thrown in a pit, your brothers don't like you. Maybe they mock at you or mock you whenever you're building an ark. Maybe people are calling you Abraham and you don't have any children. Maybe you come up to Pharaoh and your army of these slaves, we whip them.
We take the babies from your women and we drown them in the Red Sea. We in the Nile. We kill your. Are you gonna call yourself gonna come against us? They mock, and it looks like they have all the power and the authority. But guess what happens? The Bible says it grows for a little while, and they turn away from God because of that persecution. Then, Lord have mercy, we talk about those that grew up among the stones. They have life, I mean the thorns, they have life. And they grow, get big, start to be robust. And the thorns choke them out. He says, that's the cares of this life. I got to work all of the time. All of the time I got to work, work, work. The pleasures. I want to do me. I want to be free. You remember the song? I want to be free. I want to be free of God's restrictions. I want to be free to do what other people do. The riches. If you do this, we might let you have a recording contract. If you do this, we might let you in the movie. If you do this, I might marry you. If you do this, you'll be an accepted church. You can be one of the churches where people can call you their TV pastor. Cares and the riches of this life choke out the word. You turn away from God because what you have done is you mix God's word with something else and God has no part of it. The only ones that stay with God are the ones that through patience and continuance and well-doing, they bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 50, some 100-fold. Those are the people that we are talking about today. I've shown you some in the past. I've shown you the Lord Jesus. I've shown you what Jesus said about the people that were at the time when he was living. What about us today? Do we see the vision? I think the problem is a lot of time we don't see what the vision is. We don't see what the glory is. And so I want to help you see the glory. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 28, Jesus says to the disciples, those of you that have followed me in the resurrection, you have followed me in the regeneration, what you will do when the Son of Man comes in the throne of his glory, you will sit with me judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Do you see the glory? Do you see the glory of one day being able to judge? Do you see the glory in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3? Do you see the glory that the saints will judge the world? Do you see the glory? I said, do you see the glory? Do you see the glory that you're going to judge angels? You are going to judge celestial beings. Do you see the glory? Or do you just think it's just right here, right now? Did you see the glory when it came to Christ? He became obedient unto death. They killed him. They cursed him. They hung him on a tree. And God still highly exalted him and gave him a name that's above every name. And that at his name, Jesus, every knee bowed. Do you see the glory? Do you see the glory of Romans 8, verse 18? What Paul says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed. Do you see the glory? What the hell do you see? You see hellish stuff. You see the joys of this life. You see the hell of fornication of adultery. You see the hell of being accepted. You see the hell of being persecuted. Why do you see hell instead of the glory? Why? Why? Is it because you let that go in your mind all the time? And everything else is more important than God's word and being fed? Is it more important for you to see CNN, NBC, Fox News, Rush, Sean, Mark, Black Radio, Black TV, Internet? Is it more important than the word of God? They are always preaching in your mind. Always giving you something to think about. When does God get that kind of time? Why is it something can be more important? Well, I don't want to just hear God's word. It's the same thing. Have you ever watched the news? It's the same story. Have you never watched the same at 5? same at 12, same at 6, same at 7:30, same at 11. They know. This is why people turn away from God. Whoever gets your mind, whoever gets your mind controls you. That's what Paul says in the wonderful book of Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world. I think the Phillips translation, don't be pressed into the world's mold. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. This is what this is for. You think I come in just to run my mouth? I could be somewhere making money. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The reason that people turn away from God and walk away from him forever, they don't see the glory that's to be revealed. And if I get mad, that's okay with me. Jesus saw the glory and said in Mark chapter 13, 26, where he talked about a lot of things that are going to happen in the judgment. He says, they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of great glory. Well, when he said that, Jesus was saying, for me, one day it won't be like this. One day they won't be able to kick off in my tail. They won't be able to slap me. They won't be able to spit on me. They won't be able to do nothing but bow the everlasting knee. Why is that? Because one day I'm going to rise up from the grave and I'm going to be carried up in the clouds. I'm going to go to my Father. They're going to carry me, the divine assembly. They're going to carry me to the Ancient of Days, 7:13, Daniel. And the Father's going to give me a kingdom. He's going to give me dominion. He's going to give me authority. And every living person, every dead person that still lives to the Father, is going to be in my dominion. Every language. I won't have to learn their language. When I speak, they're going to hear me. If I say depart, pew. And if I say come, you blessed of my Father, they come. And that's the glory. He saw it. And so he was telling his people that would be. Therefore, if that's the glory that he has, he wants to share his glory with us. John chapter 17 said, he tells the Father, I want the glory that I had with you before the world was. Then he says he wants his disciples to see his glory. And he's going to share this glory. We'll talk about that in the book of the Revelation in a few minutes. But he wants us to share in his glory. But the reason we turn away from God and don't come back, we fail to see glory. We take a substitute. And when you take the substitute, you show that you are the fool. The fool. Listen to what Jesus said. I'm going to read it because sometimes if you quote a scripture, leave some words out, they don't realize sometimes the italics. It's not even in the original, but I want to read this. Matthew 16, verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I'm going to explain something about that in just a minute. One of the things I want to explain about that is that had been offered to him before. You see, Jesus was tempted to move away from God. If he wasn't tempted, the Bible is a liar. And Jesus not being tempted means he is not the author of eternal salvation to all those that believe in him. Hebrews 5:9. But the issue is when he was tempted of Satan, Satan tried to make him exchange the glory for something else. Just like that woman tried to get Joseph to exchange it. You get to lie with me, you little Hebrew. You get to lie with me. I'm coming for you. Okay? It's gonna be all right. It's okay. Let's do it. In the case of those that exchange the glory of God with Noah preaching the word, it ain't gonna happen. It ain't ever rain like that. It ain't gonna happen. You a liar. Satan, according to Matthew chapter 4, showed the Lord Jesus, and according to Luke chapter 4, all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and say, it's mine, I give it to whosoever I will. I like the way the old people say it. Whosoever I will, I give it to them. It's given to me to do that. You won't have to endure the cross. You won't have to despise the shame. You won't have to go through whatever it is you go through, because they truly didn't know that he was going to get it by dying. But I can give it to you, and you won't have to form this magnificent army. I'll give it to you. All you got to do is bow to me, which will forfeit everything God has. But Jesus saw the glory. It is written. It is written. Man shall obey God. Him, the only one you will serve. You should worship the Lord your God. Him only shall you serve. Is that what we do when we have temptation? Do we stop seeing the glory? That was a heck of a temptation. Not to have to be despised, not to have to be rejected, not to have to be beaten, not to have to be mistreated by your brothers. They don't believe in you. And to have a Roman of another nationality chosen as king instead of you. Huh? What? Say? But he wouldn't do it. So for us, what does it profit if we're happy now? What does it profit if we get people to love us? What does it profit if they stop persecuting us and we lose our own soul? You see, Jesus is asking them something out of something he went through. I didn't see the profit. I saw the goal. So what's the goal for us? Well, according to John chapter 5, verse 24, whoever hears the John 5, 24 and 25, whoever hears the Son of God, hear the words of the Son of God, believe on him that sent him, that individual will pass from death unto life. That individual will pass from death unto life and will be raised up in the last day. According to John 6 and 40, the individual that believes on him, that individual will have everlasting life. That individual will be raised to life. And I want you to understand what that life is. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 says, for we know if this earthly house of this tabernacle, this body, Josiah, we're talking about your body. If this is called a tabernacle, if this earthly house, this body, Isabella, what we have right here is dissolved. If it goes and the maggots eat it and the worms come out and all that's left is the skeleton, we know if this body is dissolved, he says, we know that we have a building of God, another body, not made with hands. It's eternal in the heaven. Do you see the glory? I mean, if your hair is turning white, if you're starting to slow up when you walk, if your back hurts just to sit down, if your eyes are growing a little bit dim, if you got things in your mouth to replace your teeth so you can chew, you know that this body is going away. But there's another one that's eternal in the heaven. Do you see the glory? Are you willing to give it up? Are you willing to forfeit the glory for something that's not even going to profit you? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42, this body, it is sown in corruption. When they have that body in the morgue, they pump it. In the funeral home, they pump it full of formaldehyde or whatever it is, because it's starting to corrupt. They call it rigor mortis. But it's still corrupting, just a little slower. It is sown in corruption. Richard is raised in corruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. There's a natural body. There's a spiritual body. The 49th verse says, just like we born the image of the earthy, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. According to 1 John 3 and 1, beloved, what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? The Bene Ha Elohim. We be called the sons of God like angels. What manner of love? World don't know us. But it goes on to say, when he has come, we'll see him as he is, and we'll be like him, For we see him as he is, and every man has that hope in himself, purifies himself, even as he is pure. Do you see the glory? Do you know what he's promising us? Or do you think all we do is go to church? All we do is so-and-so and yada, yada. When you see the glory, you live like it. When Joseph was a slave and did God's will, he saw the glory. When Joseph was lied on, he saw his will. When Jesus walked around, they mocked him, they spat on him, he saw God's will. When we go through stuff, when the thorns are choking us, when they're mocking us, do we still see the glory? Do we still do God's will? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 31, it says, whether therefore you eat or drink, 1 Corinthians 10 and 31, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Listen to me. Watch this. If you're doing it to the glory of God and you don't understand what the glory of God is, the glory of God is to give you what he has promised. The glory of God is for you to have new bodies. The glory of God is for you to judge the world. The glory of God is for you to be with him. Whatever you do, do it to the glory of God so you don't miss it. Don't miss it. I don't have no friend, and I meant now, not no. I don't have no friend that's worth the glory. And giving it up. And God knows I have given up the glory before in my life. And God gave me another chance. Woo! Another chance to obtain the glory. Somebody say, that's not biblically possible. Then you don't know your Bible. You don't know the Shiloh temple was destroyed and God gave him another chance. You don't know the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed and God gave him another chance. You don't even understand what the day of Pentecost is about. So you ought not argue with me. Argue with somebody that don't know what they're talking about, okay? He gave me another chance. And you think that I would presume that I get a chance to do that again? In the words of the Bible, I trow not. Now listen to what the Bible says in Ephesians 1 and 18. Paul prayed for these people that had served other gods in Ephesians 1 and 18. He wanted the eyes of their understanding to be enlightened, that they may know what is the hope of his glory or his calling. I want to say glory and calling at the same time, so I came up with glory. So let's get rid of glory. What the hope of his calling is and the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. How dare we, Mom? How dare we not see the glory? Way back then, Abraham saw a city which has foundations, who built it, make it is God. How dare me with the whole Bible? Somebody say, but he got to see God, and we didn't. So what about the time when he didn't get to see God? What about the time between Genesis chapter 12 and 15 when he didn't get to see him? What about the time after Genesis chapter 15 when he didn't get to see God, and now he's gone into Hagar and got all this hell in his home? And what about the time after Isaac was born and he didn't get a chance to see God and didn't know what to do, and he went to Abimelech? We got the word of God. Every day we can eat and hear the word of God. And what do? We choose something else that's more important. We treated God's word like we did our job every day, or at least so many times a day, God would get in our life. So we know we don't just eat our flesh and blood and vegetables. We eat the word of God. I work every day a lot of hours so I have a place to live, gas to come on, electricity to come on so we can eat and we can sleep. How much more should I prepare for that new body? I got to see the glory. And this is why we turn away from God. We don't see it and we don't want it. Now, if I will, I'm going to get some help, Dre. 11 and 35, book of Hebrews. I want you to see people to see the glory. We are almost finished. Let me see how long I've been. Yeah, we're getting ready to close. This thing been bothering me. Why do people turn away from God? Why do they forfeit everything? What did the Bible say in Hebrews 11 and 35? Not yet, but I'm going to give you a synopsis right quick. It talks about Abraham. He left his city because he saw the glory. The Bible, I believe, in the 27th verse said they could have went back, but they didn't. The Bible talks about Joseph, how he saw the glory and said, take my bones out. The Bible talks about Moses. He saw the glory and was willing to give up everything. The Bible talks about individuals that subdued kingdoms and all of that, but I don't want to talk about them right now. I want to talk about those that we know at every opportunity to stop seeing the glory. You see, because when you look at those that subdue nations and kingdoms and stop the mouths of lions, often I'd have to go through and explain when they subdued the kingdom, it wasn't that they just jumped up and subdued the kingdom. They had a problem first, a big problem, and they had issues that they had to deal with, and that was the end of it. It wasn't the whole thing. When I talk about they stopped the mouths of lions, I'd have to go through and show you that they were mistreated and all of this stuff went on, and then they were thrown in there. So I want you to understand, when you read the ones that most people look at and they feel good about, the key is they don't understand that in order to see the glory, one has to be faithful to God. One has to, everybody I've talked about has been faithful. Every single one. They didn't just have a mental ascent. According to Romans 1, I believe it is, in 5, when it goes on to talk about Jesus being the seed of David and called the Son of God according to the resurrection from the dead by the Spirit of holiness, he did that for the faith, and then the faith to the obedience of Christ. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 8 said that obedience was known throughout all the world. Am I telling the truth, Rich? You study in Romans. Faith, you better equate it with faithfulness, being obedient to God, being trustworthy and dependable. So when you see faith, when God has faith, he is faithful. He is dependable. He doesn't waver. He doesn't shake. Now read that in 11:35, since I've given us an upbeat. Our heartbeat for it. Come on.
Women receive their dead raised to life.
That means somebody's child died. Well, just read it. Well, they got their child back from the dead. They went through the agony of their child being dead. Okay? You know something about that, don't you, Mom? You know something about that, don't you, Precious? Read some more.
And others were tortured.
Tortured. This is enough for some people to turn away from God and never turn back. Read some more.
Not accepting deliverance.
Why? Keep reading.
That they might obtain a better resurrection.
These people went through that. According to Hebrews chapter 12, and I didn't have dream to continually read it. He says, you all haven't even resisted to blood. You ain't gone through nothing. In the words of some of those old cartoons, you ain't seen nothing yet. Keep reading.
And others had trial of cruel mockery.
Trials? Can you imagine going to trial, being accused of something that you didn't do, and that people say you do it, you did it, and you're being tried for it? You can be killed, you can be locked up, or you can just go through testing of cruel mockers like Noah was. Because he's about 10, where do you get the other kind of trial from? Well, I remember Naboth had a trial of cruel mocking. Jezebel said, you blaspheme God and the king. And no doubt you didn't really care about the God that you said he blasphemed, huh? And they killed him. Keep reading.
Others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourging.
I just want you to understand, and I'm not going to read it, but you might want to write it down for fun. 2 Corinthians 36:15-16. All of the prophets. Israel got so far outside of God's will, the Bible said God sent his prophets. And they got up early, bee time, came back and forth to the prophet, back and forth to the prophet. And you know what? The people mocked them and misused the prophets. See, there was no remedy. Therefore, when you read the parable, when Jesus talked about the farm owner, the land owner, that when he let his property out and that, you know, he came to get his fruit and he didn't get it. And then he said, I'll send my son. That's what he's talking about. What's your question, Gary?
You mean 2 Corinthians?
Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. Did I say Corinthians?
Yeah.
I'm glad you corrected that. I know it started with a CH. There ain't no 36 in 2 Corinthians. Unless we're gonna be in a verse somewhere, and then you didn't miss him, and you just heard my mouth say the wrong thing. It'll do that sometime. We need to correct it when necessary. Again, the Bible says they were tortured and they had cruel mocking. What else happened?
Yeah. yea, moreover, of bonds and in prison.
Locked up and in prison. Paul was in prison. That's one. Peter was in prison. They were going to kill him. Am I right? I ain't going to read the rest of it. I mean, I'm not going to tell you about the rest of the people. Keep reading, Dree.
They were stoned.
Stoned. And we're not talking about they were smoking weed or drinking.
They were sawn asunder.
Look, I only know about Isaiah. But it used the plural pronoun. And that plural, they were sawn asunder. Read.
Were tempted. Were slain with the sword.
Killed with the sword. Go ahead.
They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins.
They didn't even have the fine clothes to wear.
Being destitute, afflicted, tormented.
In this world, they'll say they didn't have the faith. They didn't have the faith because God is a God of prosperity. That if God wants you to have Gucci, he wants you to have a Bentley, or God wants you to have the best clothes, Michael Kors, and he wants you to have and free or whatever these kind of clothes that they make, or Kanye West shoes, you love God, you supposed to have the best of everything. You ain't supposed to look like you were sent for and couldn't come. You ain't supposed to be coming around in sheepskin, goatskin, destitute, naked and tormented. You can't, you look like you don't have a God that you love. Yeah, that's, you're a bad representative of God. That's what they say. And they move you away from God. Because you feel like if God really loves me and what I'm doing is right, he would give me what they say. Read some more, Dre.
Of whom the world was not worthy.
The Bible said the world wasn't worthy of these poor people. The world wasn't worthy of those that were sawn asunder. The world wasn't worthy of those that were tortured. The world wasn't worthy of those that were mocked. The world wasn't worthy of those that were slain with the sword. The world wasn't worthy. That's the word of God. It said it wasn't worthy. It was a grace gift that they were there. The world wasn't worthy of people that would stand like that and hold to the vision and reckon that the suffering of this present time was not worthy to be compared. And a lot of those were Old Testament saints, and they saw the glory. Read some more.
They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report.
These all having obtained the good report, a good witness by God. That report, look at the word, good witness by God. Who do you want to give you good witness? Those that will move you away from seeing the glory? Or the one, no matter what you went through, and you still see the glory? The reason we turn away from God and move away from God, we don't see the glory. We don't see the new body. We don't see the ruling. Read on, Dre, because it gets worse.
These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
I would submit. You read that, you can probably feel good that, you know, since Jesus came and we came and they get to get what they want. I need you to understand. That's what's being talked about, is our suffering coming in, our mistreatment coming in, and showing that God or Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's just wiped away our excuses. That's what Hebrews chapter 11 is for, wiping away the excuses of those that would turn away from God. If you think I'm telling a lie, that lie would be damnable. Let's say Hebrews 11 is there for those that would turn away so that they won't. So then why does 12 start off saying, wherefore seeing that we are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, everybody we talked about in chapter 11, seeing we are compassed and encircled by so great cloud of witnesses, let us run the race with patience. Let us look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame. You want to start talking about what we go through and say, go to Hebrews 11. Neither one of these people naming and claiming it and nabbing it and grabbing it. And these people doing what God has said, and they received the glory. They're going to get that body. that incorruptible body that fadeth not away. Let's take this on home. Let's take this on home. Drew, if you will, you go ahead and turn to Revelation chapter 2 and 7. I want us to look in the book of the Revelation, where the book of the Revelation shows that people take their eye off the prize. People take their eyes off the glory, and they become unfaithful. If a person is unfaithful, it won't matter what the cause is of your unfaithfulness, whether it's the fact you've been persecuted, whether the fact you've been seduced, whether the fact you let somebody lie to you and move you away from God. It doesn't even matter if you're in pain. There's already a great cloud of witnesses that have gone through it. What does it say in Revelation 2 and 7 about the person with the right ear?
He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life.
The individual that hears what the Spirit of God is saying, that individual has an ear to hear. And the Hebrew scripture is talking about when you hear, you do what I say. If you don't think that, then why is the word overcometh in there? Don't play with me. Play with a child. Right now, we're talking about God's word. And he said, I will let you eat from the tree. This is a glory. You want to, what Adam, you say, if I'd have been with Adam, I would have ate off the tree of life. I would have, you got a chance. Do you see it? Do you see the chance? The chance is to get to eat from the tree of life and live forever and be with God and bless his everlasting name. No more pain, sorrow, or grief of saying goodbye to your loved ones. Read verse 11, please. He that has an ear to hear.
Let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death.
Now you realize that to these people, they would have known about death, hell, and destruction. They would have known about the book of Enoch. They would have known about the book of the Jubilees. But they also should have known what Jesus talked about, the fire, which is never quenched. They would have known about hellfire and damnation. They would have known about all these things where the angels would be. And he says that individual that hears and keeps his eye on the glory, you won't be hurt by the second death. You don't have to worry about that kind of damnation. You can't see the glory. There's no man on this planet can hurt you like the second death will. He will take me to verse 17.
He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church.
Stop for a minute. Quit hearing everything else but the word of God. Quit hearing everything about, do you understand this is the book of the Revelation and it's still warning you how to hear? It's still warning you how to hear because your ears will drive you away. They found out that hearing stuff is so fantastical that they have made billions of dollars selling sex on phone calls. They made probably billions off these psychics. Am I Miss Cleo? Call me now. That was big. Nigerians make billions of dollars with what they say over the phone by people hearing the wrong thing. Satan wants to duplicate what God does. Hear what the Spirit says to the people. When you say churches, I need you to think about the assembly to the people of God that make up the churches. May I read that 17th verse since I was able to say some more.
To him that overcomes, will I give to eat of the hidden manna and will give him a white stone. And in the stone, a new name written, which no man knows, saving he that receives it.
You can already get ready for 26, but here is the thing. You get to eat of the hidden manna, a food that God has provided. You get an acceptance stone and a new name. Do you know that that's what men has always wanted to do, is make a name for themselves? They had a song on TV, everybody know your name. I forgot the name of the show. But
cheers.
Cheers. Like, but do you understand that's what they wanted to do with the Tower of Babel? We wanted to build a tower to heaven and build us and give ourselves a name, an authority. You want the name that somebody else can give you? Well, you doctor this. You got this master in this. You got this diploma here. You got this certificate here. You got a double THD, LLD, STUPID, whatever it is. You want to get, credentials. And I don't have a problem with credentials. If I was Dr. Tim Merritt, whatever money it paid me for being there, that's what I'd be. But you better understand that my credentials is going to be looked at. What is the new name? What does it signify? And what authority does it give? What do you mean, Tim? Rich, when Jacob's name was changed to Israel, he got a new name and he gave him authority, right? That ain't the last new name, but he's giving us a picture. Abram's name was changed to what? Abraham. He got a new name. It gave him authority. Sarai's name was changed to Sarah. She got a new name. You don't want, when God give a new name, something happens. You don't want to forfeit that for what? What you going to give in exchange for your soul? Because that's really what you do when you change. What does verse 26 say? This is the glory. Joseph saw the sun, the moon, the 11 stars bow. We already been told the world going to have to bow to us. We've already been told we're going to judge the angels. We've already told we're going to be in the presence of God. We've already been told we're going to get new bodies. That's not corruptible. It's going to be incorruptible. It's not perishable. It's going to be imperishable. It's not going to be earthly. It's going to be spiritual. I mean, what else does he have to promise us for us to see the glory? Go ahead and read the next verse, Dree.
And he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers.
You get to rule with him just like some do. Why did the heathen rage, Rich? And the kings and the rulers of the earth gather themselves together against the Lord and his anointed. This comes from that. And this is what the seventh chapter of Daniel 7 and 13 talks about. The Lord gets it. But you read in verse 18, it says he gives it to the saints. Revelation says that's part of the glory that's going to be given to us. Who are you taking exchange for it? Is she that pretty? Is he that good looking? Is that money that much? That little bit of revenge, is it that sweet? You know, the sweet taste of revenge? Is it worth it to go to Reverend Dubright and preach and go along and let you do anything you want to and claim all these miracles and you give him money and you don't get the miracle, but he drives a bed? I'm just saying. Here is Jesus promising why his word can't be trusted. Came into 3 and 5. This is all that he said to his assembly, what we call the church. What does Revelation 3 and 5 say to the one that overcome? He that overcome, which is the same thing as say, he that is faithful and overcome the temptation that would draw men away from their glory. What does it say?
He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment.
Clean, pure, glistening. And what the angel, when they went to tomb where Jesus was, what color raiment did they have? All right, read.
And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels.
Okay, listen to this. If someone confessed me with power that I'm innocent and I get to go free, or if someone confessed my name and I get to get this, let's say I won a car. And they said, this is really Tim Merritt. I get the card. This, yay! Now, have you ever thought about Jesus confessing your name before the Father? You can't go no higher. And he's doing it before the angels. And he's promising you the real eternal security. You overcome? You overcome. You're faithful? You don't have to worry about anything getting you. Same thing he promised him in the Old Testament. Ain't no man going to hurt you. None. They're not going to take your land. I promise you protection, and you're going to be one with me and my Father. Now, how else can you sit on the throne with him unless he confesses before the Father? Take me down to verse number 12, third chapter.
Him that overcomes, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name.
The city that Abraham looked for. Guess what? You get to be a thief to have that name written on. New Jerusalem, new city of peace. You get to have a part in that. You get to be, have his new name. But if you don't value that, you forfeit it. This is why people turn away from God. They forget what it is. I'm going to tell you something. In the world of business, they'll tell you to write your goals on a piece of paper, put it on the refrigerator, put it on the mirror, put it in your car so you don't forget. Set your goal. And many people accomplish their goals, whether it's to buy 5 houses, 10 houses, start a business, on a football team, become an engineer, whatever. When it comes to the Lord Jesus, we don't do that. We do it haphazardly. Well, I did my time on Saturday. Well, I did my time on whatever time Bible classes are. And you, if you let the time we spend here be the only time you're in God's word, you fail to yourself. I'm not to know all of all things. And even if I were, it still would not abdicate your responsibility to God. You know, I did that time seeking truth. I ain't gonna do nothing. I mean, we stayed there 1 hour and 30 minutes. I'm tired. Yeah, but you, what did you do with your other 166 hours and 30 minutes? 100, what'd you do with that? It's the only time you spend time in God's word. Woe be unto you, because you get a besiegement coming all day from everywhere, even your own thoughts. Revelation 3:21, what does this say? And this one I like a lot, because this is to a church that was messed up, the Laodiceans. But look at what he promises those people if they get their eyes back on the vision. If they get their mind back right, just like he told the first church, the one Ephesus, that took their mind off the vision and they had to go back to their first love, and they first understood and they first wanted it. What does it say to this church here, to the Laodiceans in 3:21? What does it say?
To him that overcomes,
to him that's faithful,
will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne.
Naomi, can you see that vision? If you can't see all of it, can you see having a new body? Can you see not having to ever have to have another dentist as long as you live? Mama, can you see not having to ever take another pain pill, and yet you're still alive? And can you see not ever using an inhaler, whatever you call it, again? Some of us, can you imagine what it's like to never be able to diet again? Oh, glory to Jesus. Give me this last scripture that I got here, Revelation 22:3. I want us to see the vision, so that we don't turn away. Because people turn away because they lose the sight of the glory. They lose it. What does it say there?
And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever.
Even if you don't understand the first parts of that, if you don't understand there being no curse, that means that the ground is no longer cursed. There's no more death there, because death is the curse of sin. If you don't feel like you're going to enjoy serving him, if you don't understand the joy of seeing his face, if you don't understand and feel good about having his name in your forehead, which is showing ownership of him by you, if it doesn't matter to you whether it's night or day because you're used to a world that has lights on, if you don't feel like we don't even use candles, if you don't feel like, you know what, I ain't really interested in the sun because we got light, how about this one? They will reign with him forever and ever. You're going to reign over something. You want to forfeit that? To participate in the second death? People walk away from God because they don't see the witness of those that held on to the picture of the glory. Old Testament. People walk away from God because they don't see that the glory that Jesus had set for him was a real picture of glory that he could have forfeited. They don't see it. People walk away because they don't see their glory. They don't really believe. They don't see it. As I told my oldest son one day we were riding, because he was the one that told me, y'all trying to force y'all religion on me. That's what D said. I said, D, let me tell you something. As long as you live, everybody going to try to force their religion on you. I said, when you're talking about religion, we're talking about their value system and what they want you to do. I said, every commercial is trying to force you to buy their product. I said, every time when you're in school, they got a class, they got an agenda. Whenever you see the news, they got an agenda. And I have this thing, what I call being black as a religion. Okay, when I say being black is a religion, understand, I'm not talking about the misnomer of the brown skin or the dark skin being black, but I'm talking about being black, that you're going to tell me how to think and I'm supposed to do this because we share ethnicity. Has nothing many times to do with God. That's a religion, because you're telling me, you're giving me a faith system, and that you punish me if I don't do it. You exclude me, excommunicate me if I don't do it. You want to keep fix it where I can't buy or sell if I don't go along with what you say. You're going to deem me as being evil and bad. I call that being black. That's a religion where I can't think for myself. Really, I don't want to think for myself. I really want to think God's thoughts after him. And I call, there's another religion. I call it white world. And when I talk about white world, don't look at me and think that white world means he don't like white people. No, they do a lot of things that's different. They promulgated evolution and made themselves to be on top of any other ethnic group. And when that is taught, don't tell me that if I had good sense and I believed in that and I was taught that I would not feel superior. Now, even if all don't, it's still there. The seeds of it is there. Just like the seeds are there whenever you taught that in school to feel less. If I've been taught and raised in a country where we can own these people like chattel, and we can exclude them from many things and keep them from their own history, we can paint everybody in the Bible where none of them look like them. Maybe some of the slaves can look like them. When you want to start teaching Me Too, and yet you were naked and you perform all kind of sex acts to get in the movie, and then you do the sex acts or like it in the movie, and you're going to make me get concerned. When you're going to tell me that you can bring everybody in your country, no matter what kind of disease it is, and then 2 years later you start saying, well, we're getting different kind of diseases, but my mind still thinks. You're going to have an Asian world. They do things. Every ethnic group that is at any kind of grouping together will do some things that they do according to he did the books, History of the World, our Onus, he said, Will Durant. I couldn't think of his name. He's not that important to me. But I have a set of books called The History of Civilization, Will Durant. And I like the what he says about culture. Culture is religion. Culture is religion enacted. Culture. So if you go to a Chinese culture, they're going to have a religion that may not be written down, but they have things that are accepted and not. And even if you don't know why, this is why. They have things where they exclude you, they'll accept you. They have things where they bring you down to build you. They'll determine what their rules are so far as laws and how things will be. Every culture, he says, is religion enacted. I haven't found anything that's wrong with it. Now let's end with this. God was trying to make a culture with the Hebrew people for the world. What that culture is, I'm going to have a family. I'm king. And just like Pharaoh in Egypt, he was king. His family would get all of the ruling positions. They would get the ruling positions, be a dynasty, and it would go from family to family. He showed that in the book of Kings. God was going to make a culture. But it's not going to be based on what you think. So in my culture, number one, I'm head. No one is equal to me. Don't forget it. No one is to be worshiped with me. Don't forget it. Don't take my name and use my name as a credential for you to get someone to do what you want them to do or swear by my name and don't mean it. Or say you with me. Don't take my name in vain. Don't do it. Don't make anything that you can make as an idol to represent me. I'm too big. Remember my day and keep it holy. Remember it. Okay? Keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. I'm giving you a culture. You better hear me. I'm giving you a culture. It's not just set up in the whims of man, and it's not set up in the ancestors. Before ancestors ever were, I'm God. Honor your father and mother. And I'm going to give you a promise that it'll be well with you, and your days will be long on the earth. Don't steal. I give you the right to own stuff. I give you the right to put your name on it. I give you the right to give someone access or to keep them away and have boundaries. I give you the right to do that. Don't steal. Don't murder. Life is mine. But I want a life taken, I take it. Someone said, but they say if you do such and such, you get put. That's God doing it. You carrying out his judgment. We are his servants. We're supposed to be in his family. Don't commit adultery. Take another man's wife. Take another woman's husband. That's my culture. Don't bear false witness. Don't slander somebody. Hear what somebody else say about somebody, and you don't know it, and you repeat it as a doggone talebearer throughout the land. Don't go making up something on somebody because you want their job, you want their house, you want whatever position they have, and you lie. Do not bear false witness. Do not go to court and say you saw somebody do something because you don't like them. Don't covet. Don't you desire anything that belongs to someone else and you're willing to take it somewhere else, and you better not desire my authority and my power. Exodus chapter 20 through 23 explains how that works. You put a boundary around your house. You put a fence so that somebody don't just fall accidentally and die. That's talking about murder. You want to serve God? You better serve him every day. You want to take his name in vain? Don't be walking around talking about you a Christian. You're a child of God. You're a Hebrew Israelite. Are you born again and you walking around in devilment? God has a culture for his family. He's put people out of his family before. He'll do it again. If you see the glory, as I told my son, being black is a culture, it's a religion. Being white often is a culture and a religion. Being Chinese, being Asian, being Guatemalan, Mexican, whatever, God has a culture. You need to be in the family of God. He started again after the flood with Abram. Well, you could say Noah, but then it came to Abram. If you're going to be a child of God, you need to be one of Abraham's seed, like the stars in heaven, through faith. But if you don't value being part of the family, if you don't value all that he's promised to his family, take you off the prize. You'll walk away from God like other people do. You'll be like the thorns that'll get choked out. You'll be like the plant that sprung up on the rock. Whenever persecution comes, you'll be gone. Temptations will get you. But you got all these witnesses. And he ended up with Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Is there anything that you'll let move you from God? Is there anything you'll take and throw it away? Will you exchange your birthright and your blessing like Esau did for porridge? Bible said afterward he sought it with tears and couldn't find it. If that's where you are right now, you need to come back and you need to renew your vision on the goal and the prize. Else you will walk away. End this with a song I used to sing years ago in a church that I used to go to. They need help, but anyway, the song wasn't theirs, so I'm singing it. I'll let nothing separate me from his love. I'll let nothing separate me from his love. I may have trials, I may have walls, my friends may come and they may go, But I'll let nothing separate me from his love. Let's do it one more time. I'll let nothing separate me from his love. I'll let nothing separate me from his love. I'm gonna have trials, I'm gonna have woes. So-called friends may come, and I know that he will go. But I'll let nothing in this world separate me from his love. I'll open our class for discussion or rebuttals or anything that someone was made to think about today. Now is the time for discussion. Or we can just, okay, thank you. Father, I thank you that you've shown us in your word that if we continue in your word, we are your disciples indeed, and we will know the truth, and the truth will make us free. I thank you for in your word letting us know that if we keep your commandments, we will abide in your love, even as your son kept your commandments and abode in your love. We need you. We ask you for strength and help that we will not move away from steadfastness and that we will be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in your work so that our labor will not be in vain. We ask you to give us the mindset that we will not, under any circumstances, exchange or change the glory that you have for us for the glory of that which is temporal and that can be given by man. We ask you to bless all of those that have asked for special prayers. I ask you for your mercy and your God-given will to be done in Angelica's life so that she can see the vision of the prize, of the high calling, which is in your son. I ask you for all of us, that we will press forward for the mark, that we will obtain a prize that's imperishable, that fadeth not away, that's reserved for us in heaven while you allow us to come back and inherit the earth. I ask these things in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Amen, amen, and amen.